Does that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is
him. A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I error. Find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
friend? Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Yes, it is. Good morning. This is Tech Talk. Normally with Michael Tech Talk Hassler and Dave Sparky Saganaki, but Dave has found yet again something more exciting or interesting to do than hang out here with us. So if you notice that the show just sucks a little bit more today, it is due to the absence of Dave. But that's okay. He'll be back next week. We love him and hate it when he's gone. Dave, I hope you're having a good weekend. And that's okay, though. We got a lot of stuff to fill the time this week and a lot of people to help support what's going on here in the studios. We've got, of course, the inimitable Jay Garman is going to be on with us in just a couple of minutes. He's going to answer the geek trivia question from last week and, of course, give us a brand new one for this week that we'll cover and talk about. And that'll just be great. Always a joy talking to him. Immediately after that is going to be Dave Towert. Dave Towert is the CEO of Taglocity and also one of the founders, and we're really excited to speak with him. Taglocity, just in the interest of full disclosure, I will tell you I'm a proud and happy user of Taglocity and is one of the very, very few pay-to-play products that we have put on as a cool site of the week. And so I'm really excited to talk to him about this product, what it can do for you, and share with everyone what it's done for me. It's really a neat thing, and I think you'll find it helpful in your productivity too. And certainly I thought it was worth a couple of bucks that you got to pay for it. And following that, now normally, of course, we would have our cool sites of the week. As I just mentioned, we always have some great cool sites of the week that come on. I think that's some of our listeners' favorite part of the show. This week, though, once again, we're going to have Stephen Lentz from Earlesque is going to be on, and he's going to share with us three or four or so of the Earlesque cool sites of the week, the best of the web for the week. And I've looked through, I've given a preview of the sites that he's got for us, and they are some great sites. There's one in particular that is going to get you set up for your Halloween in a way that you wouldn't believe. It's awesome. I was blown away when I saw this. It's such a great idea, such a cool thing to do, and they do it so well. So you're going to want to take a look and hang around for that. I've got to come up with, of course, for our cool sites of the week, we do The Price is Right normally as our intro lead-in song and tune for that, because usually we have cool sites of the week that are free or extremely, extremely cheap. I'm going to have to come up with some new music for the Earlesque intro. Maybe I can bug Stephen about that, but if listeners have any comments about it or ideas for it, of course, shoot me an email too, and we'll keep that in line. There's been a lot of interesting news this last week, of course, on the financial front, and we've seen, Yahoo. Of course, I have a vested interest in, because I actually threw some cash at Yahoo way back when I thought maybe Microsoft was going to step in and buy them, and I've watched that admittedly small investment, but my investment nonetheless trickle away and be worth less than half of what it was when I purchased it originally. So that's been very disappointing to me. But I know I'm in the same boat as a lot of other people. The same thing's happening, of course, to our 401k plans and all this other great stuff, which, by the way, I'm going to throw out a shout out to a good friend of mine, Steve Stewart. You can check his blog if you're looking for interesting information on money and finances and so on at Money Plan SOS. And I'll put the link in our newsletter this week so that you can find it. It's moneyplansos.wordpress.com. There has been a lot of interesting talk about it. But one of the things that I found the most fascinating is really the impact that with how fast our information communicates now, how a small comment or reference made by someone in the right place at the right time can just influence huge buckets of money and markets all over the place. This last week, just a couple days ago, Steve Ballmer, the CEO of Microsoft, made a comment at a press meeting, something along these lines, that, hey, you know, maybe this whole Microsoft Yahoo thing is still a good idea for the stakeholders. Well, just based upon that comment, immediately the stock of Yahoo shot up. I think it was like 8-9%, something like this. I know it was like $1.50 a share. And when we're talking about the shares right now at about $13, that's a pretty significant increase. And you know, just based upon that one comment. And the reason, of course, that happens is that we don't have to wait for the newspaper the next morning to hear about it. You hear about it through your Twitter feed. You hear about it through your friend feed on Facebook. It's immediately up on the web in the news articles. You know, everybody knows about it right away. So it's that I just thought was worth sharing, that these small little things. Be careful what you say out there, I guess, is what to take home from that. Another thing too that can help you with your finance stuff. There was a cool site of the week that we had a while ago called Mint, and they now offer investment tracking. If you go to mint.com. I should look it up to make sure I give you the right thing. Yes, it is mint.com, M-I-N-T, like minting your own money.com. If you go and check that out, they are a free investment tracking or portfolio tracking software that you can use on the web. And you can check this out. You can put in all of your account information. You can put in your checking account, your credit cards, and all this. And now they are actually offering the ability to track your investments too, which of course, with the way the stock market has been acting lately, is very important. And it's a really neat, very user-friendly and consolidated application and program to look at and to use if you are having a difficulty really corralling all of the money that you've got out there, or all the various investments and things that you've got going on. It'll cover your 401k plan and all that too. On the similar note, Quicken has also too made their online version of their software free. So there's a couple of options you have now for managing that flow of information and watching your money, your hard-earned money, trickle away into the abyss that is our stock market these days. And so that was all good stuff. Like I said, you know, I wanted to focus a little bit on the financial aspect of things this morning, just because there has been so many things going on with that. However, we also too have got some news on the piracy front, and of course the RIAA and the MPAA and all these guys are always on top of everyone who's trying to share files, share music, share applications, but especially of course sharing movies and music. And what we found is that President Bush has just recently signed into law a new anti-piracy law, which is just the words that I've seen used to describe it are draconian, and it really could lead to a lot of bad things happening to people who just aren't even all that aware of what they're doing. You know, and they've based this bill, and they've based this information on information that's really not all that legitimate, that's essentially propaganda from the RIAA and the MPAA. And they're creating what's going to be called a copyright czar, kind of like we used to have a drug czar, and or still do have a drug czar. And of course, we all know how well the war on drugs went. So I'm assuming that the war on copyright infringement is probably going to go about the same way. At any rate, there are some great places to check out the information on this and see what this is going to mean to you. The bottom line is, though, you really shouldn't be stealing music, and you should not be stealing movies and software and all the other stuff out there. It's easily available. You can do it. Absolutely. I think you'd be if you talk to a computer guy who said that he had never downloaded stuff that he knew was copyright infringement, you'd be talking to someone who was lying. But be that as it may, it's certainly not a good thing for you to do. And with the new laws that are going to be put in place, there's going to be more likelihood that you'll be sued and successfully sued by some of these major manufacturers. I won't get into the whole debate because it would be very one-sided since I'm sitting here by myself in a room. I won't get into the whole debate about what the record manufacturers and the agents and the artists and so on should be doing to change their way of business to fit into this new world market that we have. But I think that if you look at some of the websites that we've mentioned on here before, Ami Street, it comes to mind immediately, which is another site I'll probably bring on as a cool site again, even though it's been a cool site before, because they've added some significant features recently that allows you to decide how much you want to pay for the music that you're listening to. It's really neat stuff. I take that back. Ami Street actually changes the cost of the piece of music based upon the market demand. When you first submit music, if you're an artist, to Ami Street, it comes in and it's free to anybody that wants to go in and download it. And they go in and grab it. But as more people download it, the price of it goes up. It starts out at 1 cent, 2 cent, 3 cents for each song, and eventually makes it up to its maximum of 99 cents if you are one of the most popular music bands or one of the most popular songs on there. You could be selling your songs at 99 cents. I think it's just a fantastic business model. It just makes so much sense and gives exposure to bands that wouldn't have it otherwise. I go through, and a lot of the music that I get that I play here, I'm running through and looking for the cheapest or even the free music and songs. And you get a lot of clinkers, and you get a lot of junk, but you get a lot of good stuff too. And if you're willing to put in some a little bit of time and you start recognizing some of the artists and you wait for them to release their new stuff so that you can grab it when it's cheap, then it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool stuff. But like I said, I don't want to have this one-sided discussion, so what we should probably do is give our good friend Jay Garman a call and see if we can get him on to talk about our geek trivia. And I'm going to give him a run right now in a second if I can get his number up and all that good stuff. Let's see what we got going on here. I just love the, of course, the quiet time here as I'm trying to bring my stuff up. And that, of course, is Jay Garman's phone ringing, and we're hoping he comes on here. I saw him.
Hello.
He's on Twitter. Oh, good morning, Jay Garman. I was just telling listeners, I hope that Jay's there, because once again, we've lost Dave for the day. So,
and then he fled, or we've just misplaced him?
No, he fled. He told me in advance he was going to flee. But yes, once again, he's. I'm thinking of changing. I'm going to take his name off of the Tech Talk show. Oh wait, his name isn't on the Tech Talk show, so I can't even threaten him with that. I'm going to take that contract of his. I'm going to tear it in half. Rotate 90, tear the halves in half, and then throw that at his face, I think, the next time he does this. So,
awesome.
If we had a contract, I'd...
the imaginary contract you've been writing in your head.
That might have some weight to it, exactly. So I trust you're having having a good week this week, and...
Actually been pretty good. The company I work for, we got some funding in. We're pretty solid for another few months. Things are starting to line up, and, fall is here, which means, very, very soon, my beloved basketball season is going to start, so I'm in high spirits.
Ah, okay, a basketball fan. All right. I honestly used to be. I was a fair weather basketball fan when the Bulls were doing well and Michael Jordan was playing. I was all about basketball, but just haven't been able to get into it. Have not been able to get into it the last decade, I guess now.
Yeah, it's been a little while since the Bulls were good.
Yeah. So I'm stuck in football. The fantasy football thing is wrapping up a lot of my time lately.
I dodged that bullet this season. It has eaten whole seasons for me before, but I managed to resist this year, and I'm much more productive because of it.
It is tough. You have to manage your time with this. And for anybody that's listening that isn't aware that there is this huge underground community. I mean, I don't even know if it's underground. There's this huge community of people who are football fans, get into fantasy football where you pick and pluck members of various teams into your own cobbled together team and then pit them against other people doing the same thing. And the trading and the pulling people off of the waiver wire and all of the goofiness that you can get into with this. And of course, usually there's money involved too. So it becomes even more vital that you spend hours and hours and hours on it every week. So,
well, it also leads to divided loyalties. I'm a devoted San Diego Chargers fan because I don't really have any professional football in my hometown. And you get in these funny things where, all right, the Chargers are ahead by 6 against the Cowboys with 30 seconds to go. Don't let the Cowboys score a touchdown unless it's by Terrell Owens, in which case I get fantasy points. What am I saying?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I've had that same pain as you watch, especially, you know, with the Bears being with the Bears have this fantastic defense, but haven't been able to do anything on offense for the last several years. So, you know, it makes it tough. It does make it. The one thing good about it, though, is that I watch and enjoy a lot of games that it would have had no interest for me at all. You know, watching the the Texans versus the Jets or something. You know, it's like, oh, why do I care? You know, but now if you've got some players on there, it actually makes some sense.
Which is exactly why I gave up playing fantasy football, because I was watching too much football.
Yes.
I have to watch the Monday night game against the Saints and the Panthers, not because I care about either team, but because a starting quarterback and one of my running backs is in that game.
Yep. Or what I wind up doing is, in order to avoid that trap, is I just have all of the updated scores from the games that I care about instant message to me. So my phone is in my pocket just constantly buzzing away, and my wife is elbowing me as we're out at dinner, and every 2 minutes I'm picking my phone up and going, oh, man, oh, no. You know, Westbrook, what are you thinking? Come on. You know, and making no sense to anybody except for myself. So, well, hey, we should probably talk. We got a full bill and a full agenda here today. So I not to mean to hustle you up, but I'm also really excited and interested to know the answer to last week's question. I did not get any good responses this week, though, which may have been my own fault for being quite delayed in getting the newsletter out, though.
Well, I'm sure it's disappointing being such a Tesla fanatic as you are. But the question was, what device did inventor Harold Brown invent to discredit Nikola Tesla's alternating current technology in the late 1800s because he favored Thomas Edison's direct current technology?
And I'm thinking,
and the answer is the electric chair.
Electric chair, exactly. And didn't they demonstrate it with was it a cow, I think, or a chicken?
Actually, he did several demonstrations before he actually built the chair. He would just tour the country comparatively electrocuting animals with AC and DC current, showing that AC killed them while DC just severely hurt them. He like had a barnstorming tour of this grotesquery, and it because of these tours, the word electrocution entered public consciousness. It probably existed before Brown did this, mm-hmm. but it became popular. Also, the slang term for being electrocuted with AC became being Westinghoused, because George Westinghouse, the industrial magnate, was backing Tesla.
So the
phrase being Westinghouse meant to be electrocuted with AC power,
and of
or
course,
just electrocuted in general.
And of course, people saw Bessie getting the cud blown out of her by this electrical current and said, hey, we've got some people in prison that would work just as well on.
In the state of New York thought, we should kill people this way. That'd be awesome. And they did. In 1890, they executed William Kimmler, and it didn't go very well. It took 7 minutes to electrocute him. And the New York Times described it as worse than hanging.
Yeah. You don't want to be on the beta version of that type of plan.
and it ultimately, of course, didn't work. I mean, we use AC, and the reason we use AC, besides the fact that it's technically superior for consumer electricity, is because Westinghouse underbid Edison to be the electrical supplier to the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, the Columbian Exposition, which was the world's first, quote, fully electric World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took the world by storm, the whole AC electricity at that World's Fair. And so it sort of, there was no stopping it at that point.
Yeah.
Not even Edison could resist that.
Yeah.
Then later, Edison himself admitted that AC was better power. He was just ticked off because he owned all the patents on DC power and really wanted it to win for, you know, financial reasons.
Yeah, no, Edison was not necessarily the most pleasant or generous type of individual around.
No, and in fact, he may be a bit overrated, in my opinion. I mean, he was a very important significant industrial figure, but he didn't invent a lot of the things he gets credit for inventing because he basically managed a workshop of hundreds of professional engineers that just developed things under his banner. And he was almost a very early version of a patent troll, where he just sort of invented things and patented them and then went and fought, you know, to get money through his patents.
Yep. You know, I never thought of it that way, but you're right. He was one of the first patent trolls. Oh, man. I'll probably get some fan mail for that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So, like I said, Tesla, when you asked the question, I knew immediately because Tesla is one of my heroes, though, as crazy as he was.
Oh, he was several stars short of Spangled Banner.
Yeah, I think he was another one that that died penniless as well, too. You know, at the end of most famous inventors, obits is, and he died penniless. So inventor doesn't tend to be a really well-paying job. Patent troll is much better.
Yes. Patent troll is an established business model. There's established profit margins. It's a winning strategy.
Exactly.
Just no one's going to like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Inventor, everyone will love you, but yeah, died penniless is what you're going to have to expect on your tombstone. So,
absolutely.
If you can afford one. So what can we look, what can we be thinking and speaking of cut, chewing our cut on for this coming week?
Well, I'm trying to stay a little politically relevant, this being political season, and for those of you that follow politics, the buzzword of the week is Joe the Plumber. John McCain name-dropped this guy in the debate a whole lot. He sort of became the focal point of the debate, this guy Joe from Ohio, who was trying to buy a plumbing supply business and how he'd be affected by the competing economic proposals. So Joe the Plumber is sort of the phrase of the day. Now, being a geek, when I think of famous plumbers, I, of course, think of Super Mario.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what you do. But the funny thing about Super Mario that a lot of people don't realize is that, besides the fact that he's over 25 years old now, which is scary, is that when he first appeared in video games, he wasn't called Mario and he wasn't a plumber.
Really?
So the question of the week is, the character of Super Mario, what was his original name and his original occupation in his first appearance in a video game?
Wow. Oh, that's a great question. I have to admit, I have no clue about this one. I think I'll have to go through my brain cells in the back here, but I don't think I'm going to turn anything up on that. That was one of my favorite games was Mario Brothers video game out in the arcades. Loved to play that with the I'm trying to think it was a classic musical song in the background, and I can't remember. Maybe that'd be a follow up question, is what was the classical musical piece that was played in of course the high fidelity of stand up
the 8-bit MIDI.
Yeah, exactly, for Mario Brothers. Man, that is a very good question. Super Mario originally was not a plumber and was not called Mario. What was he called? So excellent.
Well, we try. Let's hope you get some good responses this week.
Yeah. For anybody that is listening and wants to enter, just send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. Send us your answer. And like I said, the prize bucket's getting pretty slim. I still haven't sent out, actually, in fact, some follow-up from last week, which I've got to do. But I promise if I've got anything in there, I'll send you something. If nothing else, then a classic frameable email from a congratulatory email from the Tech Talk show. So
is worth almost as much as the paper it's printed on.
Yes, almost. Well, it depends on the type of paper you use. So
this is true.
Yeah, if you use recycled, well, you know, maybe it's up there then.
Well, hey, that fancy resume paper?
No, forget about it. Well, hey, thank you very much, Jay. I appreciate you coming on the show. As always, we love having you, and we'll look to hear the answer to that next week.
Yes, sir. You have a good one, buddy.
Outstanding. You too. Take care.
All right, bye.
And that, of course, was Jay Garman, with his geek trivia fix for us for the week. Fantastic. Like I said, that's just not one that I have. Usually I have at least some idea. I have a thought of it. I have some idea of it. And that one, I just can't get, I just don't have a clue on. Well, hey, you know what we got to do now, of course, is we've got to do pay the bills. We got to pay our spots and do our spots and all the other good stuff. And I'm going to come back at you in just a couple of minutes. When I do come back, we are going to play. No, we're not going to play. We're going to talk to Dave Tower. Dave Tower is the CEO of Taglocity. So stay tuned. I cannot wait to hear from him. And then immediately after that, of course, will be Cool Sites of the Week with Stephen Lensk of Erlesk.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
The Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Hey, Lake County, don't forget to tune in to 98.3 FM every Wednesday from 10 to 1.
For Midday Madness.
It's crazy.
Yeah, you heard it. That's right. Midday Madness every Wednesday from 10 to 1 right here on 98.3 FM WRLR.
That's crazy.
As you may know, WRLR is a nonprofit, all-volunteer station. All of us here give our time, resources, and energy to provide the community, and the world for that matter, with unparalleled entertainment and information. Our motto, radioactive means involvement, our involvement alone isn't enough. There are operating costs that go well beyond our immediate resources. We need you. Community involvement is everyone's involvement. Please go to our webpage, www.wrlr.fm, and click on donate. The rest is easy. The amount is up to you. Our budget is like yours. Every contribution is an important part of keeping us all radioactive.
Yes, keep us radioactive. This is Tech Talk. You're listening on WRLR 90.3 FM. And, of course, you can also listen live anytime you want to if you go to WRLR.fm and check us out there, or techtalk.wrlr.fm. We do have a live streaming feed, and the Tech Talk show itself you can download anytime you want to via podcast. We're available on iTunes, or you can listen to us live online, or not live online, but perhaps recorded online, or download the MP3s if you want from the Tech Talk show, and those are free. We if you run across a past episode, we had this question come up a few weeks ago. If you run across a past episode that's listed and you're like, oh man, I really missed the conversation you had with David Ulovich of OpenDNS or something along those lines, just send us an email, techtalk@wrlr.fm. A lot of those older shows are not available up online right now. I'm going through a process to get them back up and online, but if you're missing one, you can't get a hold of it, send me an email. I'll make sure you get connected to it. I don't want you to miss out on that stuff. And we'll get that going. Hey, you know what it is, though? It is time to talk to Dave Towert at Taglocity. I'm going to bring him up here. We're doing, of course, the same thing through Skype. So we get that nice doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. And Dave Towert is...
Hi, this is Dave.
And here he is. I was just about to try and do your introduction for you. Dave, welcome to the Tech Talk show. But I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Great. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, my name is Dave Towert. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Taglocity. TerryBlasey.com. We do email productivity solutions for knowledge workers.
Fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'm going to say it again, just in the interest of full disclosure, that I have been a user of Taglocity products for quite some time, I think a little bit over a year now, and I have followed you through version 1 and now into the Taglocity 2 beta. And so it's a cool product. Now, I use it on Outlook, and that is that the primary focus of the product is Outlook?
Yeah, Michael. The Outlook has the majority market share in our target market. You know, we saw a huge opportunity for improving the Outlook interface in 2003, 2007, and I'm not sure the exact statistics, but some people say, you know, 80 to 90% of people working in offices, office workers, are on Outlook. So that's the first client we have. But our solution extends beyond just a single person and their inbox. You know, in other words, We have plans to develop tagging solutions for other email systems like Yahoo and Gmail and, you know, the more browser-based ones. Mm. But ultimately, we have a group solution that allows people to upload some of the emails that they get in inboxes into a group inbox. And that's all done online in an online service. That's Taglocity Groups. So our solution essentially has two pieces to it. It's got an Outlook add-in for improving individual user productivity. And then we've got this group, this online group service that allows you to get some of that group type email out of your inbox, reduce the amount of email that you have to process in your inbox, and get that into a kind of a group inbox where you have access to more information when you need it, and you don't have to deal with the constant interruptions of what we call office spam. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a bit of an overview of the problem that we're trying to tackle, is just reducing email overload and unlocking and revealing the knowledge that's trapped in people's inboxes everywhere.
Yeah, and this new functionality of it, where you're actually making it almost kind of like a social back and forth situation, where you can have these groups, these Taglocity groups. That, of course, I'm assuming is going to span. It won't matter whether you're using Outlook, whether you're using Gmail, whether you use, you know, whatever it is that you've got, you'll be able to experience and enjoy that same functionality across the board.
Absolutely. So people that are not using Outlook can still participate in Taglocity Groups. It's kind of like Google Groups for the enterprise. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have an email address and you're a member of the group, and it does everything by email address, you can publish to the group, you can browse to it, you can subscribe to content arriving at the group based on criteria that you set up. So you start to sort of define what you're interested in and have that information flow to you. It becomes essentially what we're doing with this is extending emails from push only the way it is today to push and pull. So you get some of the benefits of the wikis and the blogs and the other Web 2.0 type technologies extended onto email, so that you don't have to get off email, get out of email, which is where people are comfortable, and you learn to use a new tool to participate in sort of more of a collaborative platform type, scenario where people are contributing to stuff. Yeah. And the stuff should persist for other people that aren't necessarily part of that immediate conversation, but they might find some value in that information later. And so that's Taglocity Groups. And sure, anybody who's a member of a group can log in online from wherever they are and participate in the collaboration that's going on there.
And review that. Yeah, now we should probably talk a little bit about a couple things. One is, of course, how it actually is working. I think we're talking a lot kind of a higher level. Now, I understand what you're saying because I've used it every day, but I think for people that are new to the product, we should probably discuss a little bit about when you have that Outlook plugin, what it is that is changing about your Outlook experience, and what are some of the initial things that you're going to see that are different using Taglocity. How is it your very first day? How is it going to help you manage your email?
Great question. You know, people will move into our solutions just starting with looking for a personal productivity piece, and that is make Outlook better. So what we say is we put what's good about Gmail into Outlook. So, for example, what I mean by that is Gmail, you have labels. That you make it easy to use labels as tags. So we make it super easy for people to tag conversations, tag emails in Outlook instead of using complex folders. So you don't have to decide which folder an email is going to go into, and people have an average of 70 folders. Instead of choosing is it a legal document or is it related to marketing, it might be both. Put both tags on it, and you put it in a single folder, and when you need to find or view that information, each tag becomes like a virtual folder view. So managing large amounts of email without complex folders using tags instead is, once people start doing that, huge efficiencies around that. So that's one of the first things.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, I've got to mention that I'm also a huge follower of David Allen, Getting Things Done, you know, the whole GTD methodology. And this just synchronizes into it so well, where I went from that situation where I had 70, 80, 90, I don't even know how many folders that I had, to literally having about three or four folders now, one of which is called reference. And because I can tag these emails and with Taglocity 2.0, I can actually just with a single tag have it tag multiple ways. I can now feel comfortable throwing all those emails into my reference folder, and knowing that with a simple search, I'll be able to pull up everything that's related. With a click, I can see follow an entire conversation stream, which is very difficult to do in Outlook natively, and follow it through that way. It really, I can't stress enough for me how much of a life changer it was, a game changer for the way that I interface with email, just to have what sounds like a relatively simple thing, this tagging ability, but combining it with search and conversation follow, and bang, all of a sudden you see your email flow and the amount of time that you spend dealing with email drop significantly.
Absolutely. And you mentioned one of the key features there also is the conversation viewer, where Outlook makes it, they have conversation viewing, but you have to dig around to expose it, and then changes your other view of how you view email.
Yeah.
So and it doesn't handle it great one conversation at a time. So we've built a conversation viewer. So anywhere you are, you click on a message, you can click on one of our buttons and see that message in context of the entire thread. So you might find a message through search, but it's maybe not the latest one. And just by clicking the conversation viewer, it'll highlight that message in sequence with the entire chain, and you might realize, oh, there's more information related to this thread, and jump to the top one, the most recent one. So that's huge. Attachment handling is a lot better with our new Taglocity pane. Mm-hmm. Any email that you're on, there's a pane that shows you all the conversations you've had from that person and all the attachments that you've received from that person. So that exposes that very easily.
Now that part is still, of course, just part of the beta, the Taglocity 2.0 beta. And I've noticed myself, and I have seen a couple of small posts on online too, just saying that seems to have some system performance hits. You know, especially if you've got a little bit of an older machine. Are there any guidelines that you give to people about what level of machine that you need to run this operation, you know, or the program and so on? Or is this something that you're going to be kind of balancing out to say, you know, people are getting stronger machines, faster machines anyways, we'll put in efficiencies as we get closer to fully releasing the 2.0?
Yeah, like for example, right now we have, every time you click through a message, we actually delay for a few seconds before we do any background processing that's going to slow down your navigation. Mm. So those areas that we're tweaking. We also allow people to turn off those features. So you can have the Taglocity pane up for some of the features, but by collapsing the panel of one of the features, it won't process all, you know, to generate the information behind that. So for people that don't have the fastest machines, we are conscious of that and allow you to turn different parts of the program off so it doesn't slow you down. And then as far as searching and all the rest, we tie into the Windows desktop search engine and just provide a better, more powerful user interface on top of that. So we're not doing any re-indexing like some of the other add-ins out there that re-index everything, and then so you've got your machine working, you know, two or three times doing the same task. We leverage what's already there and expose a better user interface, more productive user interface on top of that.
Excellent. That makes a lot of sense. Like I said, I know I've noticed a little bit of a hit, but maybe what I'm seeing is that there's that delay, that couple second delay, which is actually saving some issues. One of the things, too, I know that comes up, like I said, you know, Taglocity has been a cool site of the week for us, and typically our cool sites of the week are free or cheap or they're ad-driven, that kind of thing, and you guys aren't. And that didn't stop me from, because I like the product enough to say that, you know, it's still worthwhile, the cool site of the week thing. But did you guys ever consider doing, you know, an ad-based or free version as an entry? Or would you say that going with the paid version just right off the bat, do you think that slowed down your adoption process for getting in?
Yeah, actually we do, but that's why with version 2 we're offering it for free.
Ah, okay.
So now we completely qualify for your cool site of the week.
I did not realize that. You're switching. Okay, yeah. So 2.0 is going to be free from the very beginning. It's gonna start off free and stay free. I did not know that.
Yeah, the we call it the standard version, and then there will be an opportunity to upgrade to the professional version, but the powerful features are the same in both. We don't do any limitations on tags like we did with version 1 or any of the power features. The only thing that the professional version allows you to do that you can't do in the standard, really, a couple of advanced settings for convenience, for default settings, but also for traveling tags that you want to round trip with your messages. We send out a little not very obtrusive Taglocity URL on the bottom of the message, like a sort of a promotional link to our site.
Yep.
To help generate awareness for this and make this more of a viral solution. So if you want to turn that off, then we'll have a professional version to upgrade to allow you to do that.
And it doesn't send that link with every email you send out. It's only if you're sending traveling tags.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And even then, you can turn it off. You don't have to send it out. It's based on whether you want to have traveling tags or not.
Mm-hmm.
So all your tags can be private, and then nothing goes out.
Excellent. Wow, I hadn't done my background. I didn't realize that the 2.0 was going to be a free solution. That I imagine will make a big difference for the future with you know, early adopters and people like myself that I tend to, if I can get something for free, I'll definitely hop on and try it for at least a while and see if it's worthwhile for me.
Our business model is to sell the Taglocity Group solution to the enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to get as many people using the Taglocity for Outlook client as we can, and then it provides a really tight interface into the Taglocity Group solution that I started off talking about, and that will sell to businesses to install on their own networks as part of their own intranet solution. And that's where we'll make. That's how we'll stay in business.
Ah, okay. So pulling it off of the cloud entirely, and then you install the solution internally for that.
Right, because a lot of enterprises have policies about, you know, confidential information not residing outside of their networks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And email can contain a lot of confidential information, so they don't want it in the cloud necessarily. They're not quite ready for that yet, at least in our target market.
Yep. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and then bringing that internal, and that was one of the things that I noticed early on with the 2.0 version was those groups. And the groups really is, I think, a good focus for an enterprise solution. It's not necessarily something. I mean, certainly you could set up groups with, you know, some pals of yours, but there's probably slightly better ways to do it, or you wouldn't, you know, you'd have to all be using Taglocity, which may not always be the case. But in an enterprise environment where you can get everybody on the same solution and doing it, then it makes a lot of sense. And something that you tag, you know, customer service is always picked up by the customer service department. They'll automatically just have it. You don't have to worry about passing it through to them and explaining what's going on.
Sure. And a lot of consumers, people, you know, maybe a lot of your listeners might be familiar with Google Groups or Yahoo Groups.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And essentially what we do is we provide similar benefits, but more focused towards the enterprise, more focused for people that, you know, want to have it installed in their own networks and have additional power, you know, to help manage that attention deficit that is causing such huge productivity hits in the corporate world. So people that are familiar with Google Groups, you know, for more consumer-based usages, like you said, your pals in a group and you want to, you know, publish stuff and have other people be able to come to it later and all that kind of stuff, move that into the enterprise with Taglocity Groups.
Yep. Very cool. Very cool. Well, before we start closing out here, I know, of course, you know, the vision, I'm sure, has changed from version 1 to here. Now we're in version 2. Do you have any thoughts or ideas about what version 3 is going to look like? Or are you going to see how version 2 kind of plays out and then build your ideas on that?
Yeah, we of course we'll get the market feedback from the industry, but it's not clear exactly what Microsoft's going to do with Outlook 2009. I'm sure, you know, we've got such positive feedback on some of the features we're doing. In fact, got an email from a Microsoft employee yesterday who's using it, and he quote, he said, "I'm loving Taglocity. It has revolutionized how I manage my insane amounts of email. Please pass along my gratitude." So I'm sure that some of these ideas and features will eventually make it into the product. But what we really want to do is extend email with the benefits of the wikis and the blogs with Taglocity groups and make that more ubiquitous. So tagging and having that tight interface with the group solution will extend to other email clients out there, not just Outlook. So we feel like we've done an awesome job for Outlook, and it's set the bar pretty high. Moving version 3 might move into other, take the same features and move them into other email clients, and then extend the Taglocity groups solution to really deliver on that vision of getting the right information to the right people at the right time using natural language processing, some artificial intelligence, and, you know, semantic tagging and some things like that. You know, that's really exciting, geeky stuff that our whole team is just raring to start getting into. We've done some experimentation around that, and it's looking really promising.
Wow. Yeah, no, that would be some really neat stuff, to be able to have it answer your questions for you and know what you're looking for a little bit easier than your search engines currently do. Not Taglocity search engines specifically, but just search engines in general. You know, as you mentioned, with some natural language processing and artificial intelligence, making more sense of, you know, predictors for
exactly
what you need instead of just what you're asking for.
Yeah, because search today is super fast, but you get 10,000 results back or 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is get is like what Google did for the internet, make sure that the most relevant results come back and hit the top of your list.
Yes.
Not just keywords and date ranges and things like that, but really make search more successful. So
yep.
What we'd like to say is finding is not the same as searching. Searching is not the same as finding.
Mm.
You know, you can search and search and search, but if you don't find what you want, it's not helping you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like brother-in-law. He loves to say he loves to fish, but he loves to say that fishing is not the same as catching. So
yeah.
You know, when we ask
exactly
him how he's done.
Good one.
So
perfect
say,
analogy.
Yeah, that is great. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, I hate to do this, but I've got to pull us closed here. We've got our cool sites of the week coming up in just a minute. I want to make sure I've got time to cover that too.
Okay.
But Dave, it's been great to have you on. Can you share with people again what is the website to find out about Taglocity?
Sure, taglocity.com, taglocity.com.
Fantastic. And I'll put that in the newsletter. It'll also be up on our website too. And definitely an application and a company to keep an eye on and to watch. And it'll be interesting to see how Microsoft reacts to the building, you know, number of users and interest in the type of solution that you provide. You know, it'll be very interesting to see how Microsoft reacts to that over the next several years.
You bet. Thanks very much, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. Thanks again, Dave.
Okay. Bye. You bet. Bye-bye.
And that was Dave Towert with Taglocity, CEO and founder of Taglocity. Just great to have him on. Like I said, I am a big fan of the product and have been using it for quite a while. It's really a neat thing. And of course, though, I don't want us to miss out our chance here. We've got to get on Stephen Lensk. Now, Stephen Lensk is one of the editors for Earlesque and has got some really cool sites lined up for us that I've taken a little bit of a preview look at, and I think you're gonna like them.
Hi there.
Good morning, Mr. Lentz.
Good morning.
Hi. Great to have you back on again. I think we're going to make this a regular deal, a regular thing. I was just asking listeners a little while ago that if they have any ideas for some intro music for Earl-esque, that they'll have to send those to me at techtalk@wrlr.fm. So, you know, we have some way to kind of, you know, ease you into the program instead of just the ringing of the phone. But, of course, if you have any suggestions...
That sounds great. I've never had intro music before.
Well, if you have suggestions of stuff that you like, of course, it's got to be radio-friendly. But, you know, feel free to send that on. Unfortunately, like I said, we're closing in tight on time. I wanted to make sure that we had enough time to talk. You had... I got sent just such a whole batch of really cool sites that you guys had on for this week. I wanted to make sure we got a chance to at least touch on each of them. We, of course, just to let people know again, what is your official title with Earl-esque, Stephen?
I am the editor-in-chief at Earl-esque.com.
Editor-in-chief. So we're not talking to one of the low-level peon, you know, guys who's just out. This is the top dog at Earl-esque, which is Earlesque.com. And sharing with us what we were just talking earlier about Benjamin Franklin and how he had all these Thomas Edison and how he had all these swarms of engineers working for him. You're kind of in the same position. You're going to share with us the fruits of the labors of all of these people that were surfing the web looking for the coolest sites on the web.
So, that's exactly it. You know, we've been fishing all week and we've come up with these wonderful results for you.
Fantastic.
I was listening. Can you believe it?
Hey, you know, that means we had a listener today. So that's
exactly. Maybe I'll submit my intro music too.
Fantastic. If you submit your own intro, listener, you know, then we've not only got listener, we not only have listener, but we have listener interaction, which is awesome. So
they call it user generated content. It's one user.
Oh yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need.
There you go.
And the more user generated content that we get, the less I actually have to do. So so that makes my life easier as well. I like that. Well, hey, we're gonna get cutting too close on time here. Let's hop in and what are some of the sites that you thought were some of the best sites this week?
Well, this week, you know, everything that hot seemed to be photos and animated GIFs. I mean, everything that's old is new again. So the number one thing that was sent around this week, you know, across the board had to have been Upside Down Dogs, upsidedowndogs.com.
Upsidedowndogs.com. Now, this is
what the heck is an upside down dog? But what it is people taking photos of their dogs when they're laying upside down, and then they put the photo up the other way, and they upload them to the site on the Tumblr platform, and basically it looks like the dogs are smiling, but you know, when you go through, you definitely have to admit to yourself that the bulldogs are the best one because they've got all the flab around their face.
Yes.
I don't make this stuff up. I mean, this is real.
And there's a lot of people out there that are actively taking pictures of their dogs upside down. And
absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? You know, it's funny because the other big thing this week has to be funwithmccain.com. You know, I'm not saying which political side I'm on, but this is, you know, a perfect example of user-generated content. People took the still of what's referred to as the zombie photo of John McCain from the last debate where he has his tongue sticking out, and they have pasted him into very interesting predicaments at funwithmccain.com. It's no upside down dogs, I'll tell you that, but it's equally as hilarious.
Equally good. Well, I'm going to definitely have to check that one out. In fact, I'm going to type that one in here so that I can remember funwithmccain.com. That one I have not heard about. That sounds like a blast. I know who was it? Jon Stewart also had. Oh no, it was Stephen Colbert was putting out the blue screen because a lot of the debates are happening with McCain basically and Obama standing in front of a blue background, which is just perfect for removal by video or by digital means and replacing with McCain surfing, this kind of thing. So so I can't wait to take a look at that. And so
the next one, I thought we'd get into some Halloween stuff since it's getting to be that time of year. You can't have a better URL than this. Bigpumpkins.com.
Ah, big pump.
And And that's all about big pumpkins. That's all I have to say about that.
People
yeah,
with
it's,
giant
it's basically
pumpkins.
It's a community for giant pumpkin growers. And you get to see photos of how they deal with their giant pumpkins. And they've got names like Monster Grower and lots of seeds. I don't know. It's just the strangest thing. And the weirdest thing I saw all week was somebody who grew their pumpkin in a sling so that it would have the perfect shape.
Oh, wow. No, people take this seriously then. This is this isn't
bless
just
the internet. I mean, it's
yeah, you know, it really gives people a forum that they would not otherwise.
It is a community. It is absolutely a community at its core.
Oh, man. And I did see, too, I got a note saying that you had a replacement for the Rickroll as well, that there's a new Rickroll.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, a while ago there was actually one new Rickroll, which was Heidi Montag of the Hills singing the Rick Astley song. We thought that might be the new Rickroll, but it turns out it's not. The new one is definitely the literal aha video. I don't know if you've heard of that, have you?
I have not.
Oh, this is a big one. You have to check this one out. Some genius has decided to start with the aha video from the 80s, the Take On Me, the
yes.
animated you know comic book one. And he geniusly, if that's a word, he replaced it literally. So instead of the lyrics to the real song, he's replaced it with lyrics like, reading a book, lady brings a new cup of coffee, peek in the window. She would rather keep reading, look in the frame. There's a handsome guy inside the comic. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to sing it for you. I've done that before and embarrassed myself. But your listeners should definitely check it out. And these geniuses also have just done Head Over Heels by Tears for Fears as well. So I'm just waiting for them to do Losing My Religion because that one's going to be awesome.
Oh, yes, yes. That is cool. We'll definitely have to take a look at that. That's the literal aha video, today's Rickroll. And, oh, you know what? I forgot that we've got more Halloween stuff as we're coming close to Halloween, too. I had one that I looked at, and this blew me away. I had my credit card out of my pocket already. I was thinking about it. Was Hollow Windows is what this is called.
Hollow Windows. This is from a designer named Mark Gervais. I don't exactly know what he does, but it's like Ricky Gervais, but it's markgervais.com. Mm-hmm. He designed this, I guess it's some sort of projection system, which instead of, you know, you have that sort of tacky stuff that you have people project onto their walls outside, but this one actually projects from inside onto your blinds. And, you know, you put it perfectly. Everyone says the same thing. It blows you away. I mean, it looks like real ghosts flying around your house, you know, swarms of spiders coming down your windows. And, you know, and the film that he puts on his site sells it. It's the perfect piece of advertising. Literally, I don't have any windows in my apartment that face the street, and I want to get this darn thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Especially, they have one with these eyes that come up on the window and look back and forth. And
it makes your house look like Monster House.
Exactly. Exactly. It's awesome. We have some windows in our house, and I was immediately thinking, oh man, you know, would this actually work on those windows? And could I steal a projector from work for the 2 days that I'd need it? And, you know,
you don't have a projector laying around.
Just don't happen to just have a projector laying around, but I think I could probably sneak one from work, at least for the 2 days that I'd need it.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'll definitely be putting the link to that up on the website and newsletter, the Hollow Windows, very cool stuff. And that we have time for one last one. If we're really quick, I wanted to let people know about this electric fences.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to make sure that we included something that we at Arlesque actually found. It's we love this. There's a certain video floating around there with the guy who decides to relieve himself on a driveway somewhere and ends up, you know, relieving himself onto electric fence and subsequently gets electrocuted. Anyway, so we thought we'd look for related videos like that, and it turns out there is this trend around the world, apparently, from Sweden to Canada, other places, where people hold hands and then the first person touches an electric fence and everybody gets shocked at the same time. And this, you know, these are, you know, better synchronized than a Janet Jackson video with the dancers. I mean, this is amazing. Everyone jumps at the same time. the most suspenseful thing you'll watch, you know, beyond any Japanese horror film you've ever seen.
Oh, man. And, you know, and I remember my dad grew up in small town Aurora, Illinois, and I remember him telling me about they used to do this for fun. They would be walking home from school, and, you know, two of them would grab hands and then and latch onto the third guy who was unaware of what was happening and nail him. So, so
it turns out, I know, it turns out everybody has an electric fence story. Who knew, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. If you talk to, well, especially, of course, around here, I mean, we're really in small town Illinois here, but if you talk to anybody, it's everybody's got one, even in the bigger cities. You know what? I'm right at the moment here. I've got to close this out, I'm afraid. We're going to be doing this as a regular thing. Thank you again, Stephen, for coming on. Earlesque is URLESQUE.com, but you can, of course, always find all these links at techtalk.wrlr.fm. And thanks again for coming on, Stephen. We'll be talking to you soon.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was Stephen Lensk, of course. And we have got to clear out of here. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming on. Don't forget to catch the podcast song of the day. And we're coming in late into hits. So I got to clear out quick. Otherwise, Jeff Davis and all the hits are going to be real mad at me. So take care. Have a great week, everyone. We'll talk to you next week with Tech Talk.
That's right, baby. Girl, tonight we're gonna make love. You know how I know, baby? 'Cause it's Wednesday. And Wednesday night is the night that we make love. Tuesday night's the night that we go and visit your mother, but Wednesday night is the night that we make love. 'Cause everything is just right. Conditions are perfect. There's nothing good on TV. Conditions are perfect. You lean in close and say something sexy like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. I know what you're trying to say, baby. You're trying to say, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business.
That's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, let's get down to business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Ooh. Next thing you know, we're in the bathroom brushing our teeth. That's all part of it. That's foreplay. Then you go sort out the recycling. That's not part of it, but it's still very important. Then we're in the bedroom. You're wearing that ugly old baggy t-shirt from that team building exercise you did for your old work. And it's never looked better on you.
Oh, team building exercise, not tonight.
Oh, you don't know what you're doing to me. I remove my jeans, but trip over them because I still got my shoes on. But then I turn it into a sexy dance. Next thing you know, I'm down to just my socks. And you know when I'm down to just my socks what time it is. It's time for business. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
You know when I'm down to just my socks, it's time for business. That's why they call business socks.
It's business. It's business time.
Oh. Making love. Making love for two. Making love for 2 minutes. When it's with me, you only need 2 minutes. 'Cause I'm so intense. 2 minutes in heaven is better than 1 minute in heaven. You say something like,
is that it?
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, oh yeah, that's it. Then you tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised. But I'm quite sleepy.
It's been-
business hours are over, baby. It's business. It's business.